Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello and welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today we have moved into day 18. And with 17 ending on a cliffhanger about no purgatory, maybe you're anticipating this one more than normal. I don't know. With an understanding of purgatory that is one that's a great mercy and one of the greatest gifts that God's given us. We also know from many saints and mystics that if we can do anything on earth to avoid spending undue, unnecessary time in purgatory, we should not waste it. And so if you're like me, you're looking forward to what this day is all about and what this meditation can point to, giving an insight to some of the fruits of this consecration. So let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to give us the heart and mind to receive and respond fully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 18. No purgatory? Yesterday we learned that the offering to merciful love heals our hardened hearts, making them more sensitive and compassionate. One result of that heightened sensitivity is a deeper feeling of longing for God. And guess what? That's a lot like purgatory. Really. St. Faustina once had a vision of purgatory, that place of suffering for the souls of those who die in a state of grace, but who are still in need of purification. And she asked the souls there what their greatest suffering was. They all replied in unison, longing for God. All right. So does the offering to merciful love make this life into purgatory? Well, in a certain sense, yes, because it increases our longing for God. But don't worry, in this life, it's a sweet longing and a particularly good thing. It's especially good because it not only opens our hearts to deeper prayer and can make life more joyful, but it also keeps us from having to go to the real purgatory in the next life. In fact, St. Therese believed that for little souls who live the little way and make the offering to merciful love, purgatory can easily be avoided. And by that, I certainly don't mean it's easy to avoid because it's easy to go to hell. Rather, I mean it's easy to bypass purgatory and go straight to heaven like the saints do. Let's let Therese herself explain this amazing point. The saints of the little way believe that after she made her offering to merciful love, she no longer needed to fear purgatory. She describes the reason to her sister Pauline, Mother Agnes, who had given her permission to make the offering. Quote, "You permitted me, dear mother, to offer myself in this way to God, and you know the rivers, or rather the oceans of graces that flooded my soul. Ah, since the happy day, it seems to me that love penetrates and surrounds me, that at each moment this merciful love renews me, purifying my soul and leaving no trace of sin within it. And I need have no fear of purgatory. I know that of myself I would not merit even to enter that place of expiation, since only holy souls can have entrance there. But I also know that the fire of love is more sanctifying than is the fire of purgatory. I know that Jesus cannot desire useless sufferings for us, and that he would not inspire the longings I feel unless he wanted to grant them." End quote. Does this sound like someone who regrets having offered herself to merciful love? Of course not. And in fact, the line that follows this paragraph makes it even clearer. Oh, how sweet is the way of love. Yes, it's sweet because love is sweet, and it's also more effective at making us holy. Quote, the fire of love is more sanctifying than is the fire of purgatory, end quote. In fact, for Thérèse, love is the chief plenary indulgence that can keep us from purgatory. Moreover, she explains, God, who is all gentleness, would moderate to excess the temporal punishment due to sin because of our love. So love carries us along the way, making everything in a certain sense easy. It's the way our loving and merciful God intended for us. But when we get too big, in other words, when we don't fully and confidently abandon ourselves to God in this life, then we have to endure useless sufferings. We have to endure the fire of purgatory. But Thérèse wants us to avoid it, and she believes that God wants us to avoid it too. Actually, according to Thérèse, God doesn't just want us to bypass purgatory. He wants us to stop talking about it as if it were nearly impossible to avoid. In fact, she believed that such talk hurts the Lord. For instance, after hearing some of the other nuns talking about how they'd probably end up in purgatory, Thérèse responded, "Oh, how you grieve me! You do a great injury to God in believing you're going to purgatory. When we love, we can't go there." And as for one of her novices who told her, "I fear purgatory," Thérèse had this to say, quote, "You do not have enough trust. You have too much fear before the good God. I can assure you that he is grieved over this. You should not fear purgatory because of the suffering there, but should instead ask that you not deserve to go there in order to please God, who so reluctantly imposes this punishment. As soon as you try to please him in everything and have an unshakable trust, he purifies you every moment in his love, and he lets no sin remain. And then you can be sure that you will not have to go to purgatory." End quote. How can we be sure that we will not have to go to purgatory? Thérèse's advice is something we've already heard. Keep trying. As soon as you try to please him in everything. And she also said something else that's familiar. Keep trusting and have an unshakable trust. So when we keep trying and keep trusting, God purifies us every moment in his love and he lets no sin remain. Okay, so that covers two of our three things for living the little way that we learned on day 11. Keep trying and keep trusting. But where's the third thing? Where's the call to recognize the darkness of our littleness? We find that part of Thérèse's teaching in her response to one of her novices, Sister Marie of the Trinity, who is concerned about her chances of avoiding purgatory. Sister Marie had asked Saint Thérèse, "If I fail, even in the small things, may I still hope to get straight to heaven?" Now, Thérèse knew the young nun's weaknesses very well, and yet she still responded with beautiful words for little souls. "Yes, God is so good. He will know how he can come and get you. But despite this, try to be faithful so that he does not have to wait in vain for your love." Yes, God is so good to little souls who recognize their weakness. So let's try to be faithful and let's trust in God's promise of mercy. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to live my life so I'll go straight to heaven when I die. All right. Thank you, Saint Thérèse, for giving us great confidence in the Lord's merciful love that can purify us even in this life so that we can go straight to heaven. Well, let's talk about this day, because there's a lot in here that would be good to talk about and reflect upon. Maybe just the first question is, what are your thoughts about purgatory? What's your impression? What's your sense? What's even your expectation for going to purgatory, or spending some time in purgatory, or a lot of time in purgatory, or how difficult or easy it would be to even go straight to heaven. I think these are good questions for us to have. It's often not talked about, unfortunately. We have a whole month dedicated to praying for the holy souls in purgatory. And yeah, I think a lot of times maybe we're taught about who those souls are and why that's important to pray for them. We usually don't have this idea that, well, anyone that I love that's died is in purgatory or something like, but to really see, as I start off the podcast by proposing, that purgatory truly is one of God's greatest gifts of mercy, that those who would die in a state of grace, but not having come to perfection in this life, would have purgatory, a chance to be welcomed into heaven, into that eternal relationship with God, but have this temporal time outside of this life, this temporal time to come to a perfection. And it's purifying, this purgation that would allow us to root out any attachments that we might have to sin, to this world, and to be able to be free to be completely the Lord's. And so it's true what Father Gately emphasizes about Therese's insight, that the great, great suffering is the longing for God. And so to appreciate, right, that these purgations, this purifying fire of purgatory, they're not just arbitrary sufferings, that because you said this many swear words or got drunk this many times, that now you have to just suffer these flames for this arbitrary amount of time associated with these sins. It's not just arbitrary flames, but they're sweet purifications to those precise vices or attractions, attachments that we have to the things of the world or the different sins. And so the Lord, right, he loves us so much that he wants our hearts to be free to receive all of him. And one of the images that I give for purgatory and the invitation to heaven is thinking about how much I hated waking up for school in the morning as a kid. And I remember my dad trying all the different tactics to get me up, yelling at me, shaking my bed, taking the covers off. And there was no denying, though, the turning on the light. There was like this definitive, you can't deny it anymore. And so after sleeping in darkness for how many hours, that turning on of the light instantly was necessarily painful and abrupt to my retinas and everything else. And so that there had to be like this time of adjustment to be able to go from the dark to the light. And that transition, right, is analogous to purgatory, to be able to recognize, yeah, of course we want the light, but if we're living in darkness, we need a time of transition to be able to come to have our eyes, our hearts adjusted. And so that longing for the light, for us to just assume that we can live in this world and then pass from this to the next by our final breath and experience the full perfection of love, of life, of glory, without any real complete surrender or efforts on ours to give ourselves over to divine love, then we're really not appreciating what heaven is, that it's this perfection of love. And if you or I have any problem in this life loving perfectly, then we should be grateful for purgatory to be able to cleanse us and to give us a chance to allow our hearts to adapt. But that longing for God is the ultimate suffering, that I'm in heaven, I'm in this relationship, I can taste it, I can smell it, and the things that are in my heart that prevent me are this suffering that needs to be taken away. So, how do we do this? Yeah, that quote that goes from 78 to 79 is really, really insightful, that here she speaks to her mother superior, Mother Agnes, which is her oldest sister, Pauline. And she writes to explain it, that it's this merciful love that is what renews me, purifies my soul, and leaves no trace of sin within it. Can we appreciate why, with what we've learned so far, that it's the oblation to merciful love. It's this decision, this choice to surrender ourselves, loving our poverty, and that we would, in our own humility, stand there with Jesus and compassionate him, to love him in the midst of his sufferings, the midst of his longings for souls to know him, to respond to him, and that we would love him, compassionate him, suffer with him. And it's in this commitment to be united to his mercy, to his love, and to be willing to receive it for those who are not willing to receive it, that this is what teaches our hearts how to love rightly, how to receive rightly. And so it is from the cross that we have the source. It is from his suffering heart that we see the greatness of that offering. And so that's what purifies and leaves no trace of sin within it, within the soul. And so that's the connection, right? And that instead of leaving the work of the purifying of the soul till after this life, that Therese is recognizing the invitation is to do it now, to be present to the Lord's suffering and to make this oblation to divine mercy that does now what otherwise would be later. And that's why the love is sweet, she says. Sweet is the way of love. Because that fire of love, yes, it burns, so to speak. It purifies us. It's not easy to be able to, in the midst of our sufferings, tragedies, setbacks, everything else, to be present to the Lord, to choose, like, but maybe I can make a difference here, or maybe I could get my act together, or maybe I could go and talk and correct this situation or this person, and instead just to really see, like, where's God's love? Where is he inviting me to love him and to intercede for those around me? And truly this supernatural response. And that path of littleness, of the spirit of poverty and trust, is what really forms us and prepares us for the perfection of love. Does that make sense? I'm hoping this is connecting with you. Sometimes it's tough to get what's in your mind through the microphone into others. So anyway, come Holy Spirit. Okay. Maybe just a word here. I kind of feel like it might be good to qualify or give some context to what Therese is grieving about, that some of her sisters in her convent are talking about purgatory too much. And this makes Therese upset that they're missing the full invitation, so to speak. Right, the context. Remember the context that's going on in Therese's convent, or just in the Carmelites, really in this time of France in general, that there is such an emphasis on the fear of God, on his punishments, on his justice. And so for many, this is the talk, that purgatory is not a sweet invitation to come to this perfection of love through a longing for God, but that it's a divine justice. It's a punishment from God's justice. And so, I don't know, I feel like maybe to appreciate the different context that we live in, because I don't hear anybody talking about purgatory or fearing purgatory or worried about it. I almost feel like the opposite, not to go too extreme, but you know, could be helpful in being able to just lay out the reality of eternity and these two options, heaven or hell, but heaven requiring perfection and that gift of his mercy. So I'm not saying I'm ready to go on a purgatory preaching crusade or anything like that, but yeah, I do find we're very adverse to hearing any message other than when we die, as long as we're good, we go straight to heaven. And that's just not true. And so I don't want to take away what Teresa is saying or what Father Gately is emphasizing, but I think the context is helpful. That Therese realizes her sisters are lacking trust. Her sisters are lacking trust. It's not that they don't have the right knowledge per se, but they don't have the trust and understanding that if you completely surrender yourself to the Lord's mercy, then you need not fear. And that's true. A complete surrender to his merciful love casts out all fear. And so to emphasize the keep trying, keep trusting, and that even in the darkness of our littleness, of our inability, that we would love our poverty, love our littleness, and continue to be present to the Lord, compassionating him and allowing that merciful love that he has to find more and more room in our hearts. So may this invitation to trust in the Lord's mercy, to cast out all fear, and I would even propose, yeah, just to really set our sights to the heights of heaven, to the heights of heaven. If another analogy would be beneficial, it's like back in the days of school where you're just like, I just want to pass this class. I just want to pass. Like, can I just get a C? I just need to pass. We should not look at eternity that way, like just trying to squeak into purgatory. Let's aim for the heights. Let's aim for the highest heights of heaven, to be as close to God as Therese will emphasize, right? That there, based on our responses to God, we can increase the capacity of our soul to be able to receive more and more of God. And whether that's a little thimble, a little bowl, a pool, or an ocean, in heaven, God will fill us, and we will be perfectly filled with the glory and the life and the love of God. But for us to not settle and to really give God as much room as possible to expand our souls so that we might be just vast caverns to be filled with the fullness of his love, so that we might glory and fully participate in the perfection of that love with him forever in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to live my life so I'll go straight to heaven when I die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, friends, at the end of day 18, we're on our way through this second half and continue to dive deeper and deeper. Let's keep going. Let's keep trusting. Let's keep praying for one another. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.